Well, good morning, everyone.
It's a lovely, lovely day today, isn't it? I thought it was great. We were driving and we saw really some beautiful scenes that we would probably miss normally during the winter time. Just as we were coming up from the M1, I was sharing with Carl that as you come off the M1, there's a big roundabout, and right across towards Sapkot, I think it is that way, we saw a beautiful tree with a lot of mist behind it. And the scenery was absolutely brilliant, I thought. And I wish at that stage I had my camera with me, but I didn't. Sorry, I'm getting myself ready. I encourage Bindu to come up here and say thank you, but she wouldn't. I'm on?
Yes, good.
She wouldn't, so I'm having to do what she needs to do, is say thank you for your prayers. She's been recovering from the knee operation. Sorry, I'm trying to get myself all sorted out. She's doing okay. A lot of pain at the moment, but she's doing okay. And we thank you for your prayers. Let's just commit our morning to the Lord, this time of looking at the Word of God. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I want to thank you for the Word of God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And our prayer to you this morning is that you will speak to us. You will enlighten your Word through the power of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds, so that we may learn more of you, so that we may be more obedient to you in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if some of you watch Britain Got Talent. Does anybody watch that one program? I do. I used to love that program. Used to watch quite a lot of it. And one of the programs that I did watch, and you'll see that it's a little while ago, was when Susan Boyle stepped out on the stage. You remember that, don't you? Yeah, people laughed at her. They made fun of her because of her outward appearance. It wasn't the glamour that they were looking for, and they didn't expect. And you could see on the video, if you replayed, that the members of the audience who were there at the time rolled their eyes. But the difference started, and I quite clearly noticed that as I replayed that video. When she came on the stage and she opened her mouth and she sang, her voice was like an angel. People's initial attitude, you could see, were changing in an instant. She had this amazing voice that was almost perfection to the ears. The eyes changed, the attitudes changed. The resounding applause that came along made her into a star that we all know her as now. But did you notice one thing? The talent, the secret that she had was not on the outside, but it was on the inside of her. And that's why people didn't notice that. And did you know God looks at us not on the outside of how I look, what color I am, what I can do and what I can't do, whether I'm wearing glasses or not, or whatever I'm doing. It's what's on the inside that matters here this morning. God loves us just the way we are, with the resources that he has given us from the inside.
And I wanted to just share that because I found that really helpful as we come to our passage this morning. We come to the same passage that we've already looked at before. And I think David opened it up with fruitfulness. But did you know John's gospel is the only one that tells us why he wrote the gospel of John? John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written," in other words, these are the things that are written in the gospel of John. Why? "So that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." It's good, isn't it, when somebody actually tells you why he's written the gospel. Different to all the other three gospels. So it's by no means a surprise when John, in his gospel, offers us at least five secrets of living a Christian life. At least five. These are guidelines of how we may live as true disciples of Jesus Christ. The true secret of living a Christ-filled life. We all sit in the church and we all want to say, how can I live an obedient Christian life? How can I be a wonderful Christian, if I can put it that way? We looked at the fruit bearing last time with David. But today, I want us to look at the second secret of living. First one was fruit bearing. The second one is abiding. The secret of living is abiding. Now, just in case you forget that, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to remember to come to either myself or my wife. She overnight has produced one of these for each of you. Okay? It's a heart. It's my life. And I want Christ to abide in it. I want Christ to abide in it. And just in case we forget today's message, maybe you can put that in your Bible somewhere there. It's quite thin. And she put it together so that you may remember it. Please remember to take one and remember to use it as well. Also, if you recall, we've also done the focus file at the back of the church. Please take one. Read it and see if it's any help to you. And if it's not, come and tell me so we can do some improvements next time. But today's passage is our second secret of living is abiding. We've read our scripture passage, so brilliantly read to us. But our main focus will be on verse 4 and verse 7, which we'll come to. But the first question when I looked at this, I asked myself, abiding? What on earth does abiding mean to me? What does abiding mean? I wanted to just break this down into my own language, in my own understanding. I didn't want theology a lot of behind it. I just wanted to simply understand, what does abiding mean to me? So scripture, it's in scripture. But the word abiding is mentioned at least 10 times in our passage. The word abide is actually an old word, essentially giving us a picture. It's a picture of a relationship. A relationship like a sheep is to the shepherd. Like a relationship between a child and a father. A relationship between a subject and the king. Or a slave and a master, and possibly a lot more. But here in John 15, John conveys yet another picture for us. It gives us a picture of a relationship between a branch and a vine. Now, from where I come from, I cannot pronounce V, just so you know. Okay? So if I pronounce it wrong, you know that I've not done it deliberately, okay? But many people have mentioned it, that I cannot get my tongue around, whatever it is, the word V. If I concentrate, probably I can, but it doesn't come out right all the time when you're speaking just like that. It's just probably in my background, somewhere along the way, I haven't got a clue. But it gives us a farming picture. Why? Because the vineyards were quite common in Israel. Everywhere you went, there was always a vineyard. But today's verse, as I said, we look at it, is verse 4. Verse 4. Now, I put it in two different translations. We're primarily looking at the Message version, but I've also added the King James version for us. It puts it this way. Look at the words. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way as a branch can't bear grapes itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. King James puts it this way. Abide in me as I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides to the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. These are the words of Jesus. Clearly, this is talking about a relationship between a vine and a branch, between God and a believer. A picture to stay. A picture to live. A picture to remain. A picture to abide. It cannot be more clearer. The word abide simply means God dwells in me. God dwells in me. God's presence is in my life. Therefore, when it says, abide in me, it simply means Christ living in you and me today. Can you fathom that? Can you get that around your head? Christ living in you today. God, the Almighty Creator of this universe, is in your life. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has taken residence in my life. If you don't get anything out of what I've said today, just take that with you today. Abiding means Christ living in me, residing in my life. Not from time to time, but permanently. Why? Because this is a true nature of a Christian's relationship to Christ. It is a relationship. So we now know what abiding means. In simple terms, it means Christ living in me. I'm not talking about with me, I'm talking about living in my life. Okay, I got that round my head. The next question I had to ask to myself is, why should I abide? Why should I abide to the vine? Why should I abide in the vine? Is it really necessary? It sounds hard work. Imagine a branch all day long sitting there attached to the vine, on a branch, attached, being pruned daily. Been clean, been fed water. Look at verses 1 to 6 on the screen. It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Sorry, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will produce even more, be more fruitful. You're already clean. Why? Note this word. Because of the word I have spoken to you. God's word. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The message is coming very, very clearly. We got to be abiding in Christ in order to bear fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Why should I abide in the vine? Some people say that, don't they? Put it in my language, somebody says, why should I read my Bible every day? Why should I pray every day? Why should I fellowship every day? Why should I listen to somebody speaking for half an hour and just carry on whatever he wants to say? Well, look at the reasons. Why should I abide to the vine? Verse 2. Because if we don't, he cuts every branch that does not bear fruit. Verse 2 again. Every branch that does bear fruit, he also prunes. Verse 4. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. What's the message? To bear fruit, we must be joined to the vine. A branch can't bear grapes by itself, only by being joined to the vine. A branch does not bear grapes on its own, but for others. Have you ever looked at a tree that's got fruit on it? Do you think the fruit is sitting there every day and saying, wow, what a delicious fruit I have really created for myself? Did you say that? You're not sure, are you? A fruit doesn't do that. Does the fruit sit there and say, I tell you what, I'll pick one for myself and enjoy it and see what it looks like? The fruit doesn't do things like that. You know, the fruit is created for somebody else to enjoy. Simple facts of life. We don't create fruit for God and boast in a church and say, oh, look how wonderful a person I am. Oh, look, wonderful service that I'm doing for all of you. No. We bear fruit for others. For others to enjoy on a daily basis. And to be more fruitful, God comes along and he says, you are doing a wonderful job. I'm going to prune you even more so you can do a better job. A branch needs to abide in order to produce fruit for others, not for itself. Therefore, as a branch, I need to abide in Christ. That's what that heart will say. Abide in Jesus. Abiding involves reading and studying God's word. Verse 3. Abiding involves spending time with the Lord in prayer. Verse 7. Abiding involves the desire to do God's will. A branch can't just sit there and say, I'll do whatever I want. It has to follow where it's being fed from. Psalm 1:2. Abiding involves obedience to God. Verse 10. Why should I abide in the vine? Because abiding is a vital sign for spiritual growth in my life. It's what we say. It's all about love. We sang that on the last song. It's all about love for others. It's love, my love in Christ, and loving others in Christ. The Holy Spirit, when we put our faith in and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit united us to a living relationship with the Father. You and I became a new creation. You and I became a branch to the vine. And the branch draws their life from the vine. A new union was formed, maintaining moment by moment a daily fellowship with the Lord, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A new creation was created at that time. You and I, as a branch, were attached through the Holy Spirit to the vine. Remember, a branch that tries to go it alone will never, ever bear fruit. A branch that does not abide in Christ and says, hold on a minute, I can do this myself, will never, ever survive. You know that, and I know that. A branch that is cut off from a tree, for whatever reason, will fall down to the ground. It'll wither and it'll die. So if I say abiding is not important, I can manage on my own, I don't need to read the Word of God, I don't need to spend time praying to the Lord, I can do it all on my own, I don't need to go to Sunday services, it's okay with me. We don't grow when we're not abiding. We don't grow when we're not attached to Jesus Christ. We fall away. Why should I abide to the vine? Galatians 2:20 puts it this way. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me. It's not as a branch, I'm not living for myself. I'm living because of Christ in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 says, did you not know? That's a question for us. Did you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If there is one thing we can get through our head this morning, in our hearts, in our minds, is that Christ dwells in you and me. What responsibility does that bring? A branch can't just sit there on there and say, no, I don't need you anymore. We do that as Christians, don't we? I don't have to read the Word of God. I don't have to pray. I don't have to go to church. Friends, abiding is the key to our secret living in Christ. Everything stems from there. Note, abiding work is happening on the inside, which flows externally on the outside. The abiding that the branch does to the vine is taking place secretly inside those veins that are going through all the way around branch. We can't see it, but God is working inside us. But when do we see it? When we see the fruit on the tree, on the branch. When we see the fruit. And when people see Christ in you and give God the glory, That's when God is praised. But remember, it's not the branch who is excited about it. It's Christ. There are others who see Christ in you and give God the glory. That's the key. One more question. What are the benefits we receive from abiding in the vine? I sat and looked at this passage and I came up with a lot of questions. So I thought, well, I'll put it in that form. What are the benefits we receive from abiding in the vine? Verses 1 to 3 again. I am the real vine, and my Father is a farmer. He cuts off branch in me that does not bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it'll even bear more. You're already pruned back to them, back by my message I've spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do to you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined to the vine, the Message version. These are words that Jesus spoke to his disciples at the last Passover. These were his last instructions. Judas had just left the room. And Jesus says to the remaining 11 disciples who are sitting around with him, you, he's talking to the disciples, stick with me. Live in me. Abide in me. Live in me. Why? Because this will prove that you are my disciples. Why? Because abiding is the nature of our relationship with Jesus. That's what we do as a branch. We abide. We make sure that we are stuck, close, connected, living in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus gives a promise to those who abide. The promise is the benefit of abiding is everlasting salvation. The benefit of abiding is everlasting salvation. Take that famous verse that we all know, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Salvation brings with it the promise of eternal life. Eternal life is not something we possess, we will possess, but we actually possess it now. Eternal life is what we enjoy on earth, not in heaven, but also in heaven, sorry. By abiding in Jesus, we have life, eternal life. We enjoy that today, now. Why? Because we have Christ abiding in us now, today, in our lives. He says, he that has the Son has life. He that has the Son has life. What does that mean in my language? It means those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who have committed as a branch to the vine, has life. And how do I know it has life? By the fruit that it produces. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Live in me and make your home in me just as I do. What is salvation? What is salvation? Salvation is having the life of God living in me. It's abiding. How do we define a Christian? If somebody you went on a street tomorrow and said, tell me, what does it mean to be a Christian? What would you say to them? What does it mean to be a Christian? The best way of defining a Christian is that Christ lives in that person. I can walk around and say, Christ lives in me. he or she possesses the eternal life of God that only God possesses. See the depth of the words that have been spoken here. God's eternal life living in me. A Christian means that we have the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in my life. He has taken up residence in me, and I in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says, God lives in us. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 10. The life of Jesus is made manifest in our human bodies. Sometimes we think eternal life is all when I get up to heaven. No, it is today that we enjoy the eternal life of God. Jesus is made manifest in our human bodies. These are quite amazing portions of Scripture that you can pull out. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in me. The eternal God has given me an eternal life. The benefit of abiding is eternal salvation. The benefit of abiding is also fruitfulness. We looked at some of it last time. The first one is salvation. The second one is fruitfulness. What is fruitfulness? In simple terms, it is a proof. When you see fruit on a branch, that branch is alive. It is attached to the vine. A branch that proves that it has life in it. Not a show of fruit, but it is the evidence that the triune God lives in that person. How? By the fruit that you see in them. There are some people who say, I'm a Christian. Everything is fine. Okay, but you do not see the evidence of Christ living in and through their lives. That is a dead branch. They may be coming to church. They may be doing all the right things. But if you do not see Christ living in and through their lives by the fruit, then that's a dead branch. A fruit is by exhibiting God through my life. Verse 8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing that you are my disciples. So you see, abiding means Christ in us. But when we abide in Christ, we have the benefit of producing fruit for his glory. Fruitfulness is the only way we know we are Christ genuine disciples. That we are the branches. We are abiding. We are connected to the vine. By your fruits, you will know that you are my disciples. An unconnected tree cannot produce fruit. By abiding, we know that we will produce fruit, giving God the glory. So once again, we conclude that abiding is vital to a believer's life. Just two quick ones. Abiding also creates in us genuine desire for repentance. When there is Christ living in us, when the sap is running from the vine to the branch, any sin going in it is foreign. Any sin going through that life will stand out like a sore thumb. And if I'm genuinely following Christ, I will detect the wrong that I'm doing, and I will stand up and repent before the Lord that I've done wrong. Abiding creates in us genuine desire for repentance. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. There will be an honest repentance towards sin. Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. That leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Last one. Abiding creates in us an increase in spiritual hunger. When I'm abiding in Christ, I will hunger for more and more of that correct sap that is flowing through from the vine to the branch. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. We continually ask God that he may fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit of God gives, that you may have a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Abiding to the vine will increase our hunger for God's spiritual food. Abiding in Christ will always create an hunger, but never to a point of completion. Look at Paul's example. It says in Philippians chapter 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul had been a Christian for nearly 25 years, yet he says, I've not got there yet. I want to learn more about Jesus. I'm not there yet. I carry on running the race that God has put before me. As I yield to Christ, abide daily in our relationship to Christ, we grow. We grow daily. But the more we grow, the more hunger we will feel for God's word and God himself. At the same time, we as a branch will bear much fruit, because God neither created you or me for show. A tree that bears as a branch and creates fruit, bears fruit on it, is not there for show. If it does, it's just going to fall over and die, and that's the end of that. But the fruit is created for those whom others may get to know. Because God created for you and me to bear fruit. God created so that we may abide in him and create fruit. We didn't sit there and receive Christ so that our lives may fill our bellies and our life and whatever it is. Christ brought us to a point of salvation, to a point where we can abide with Christ and his life interceding into our lives. Why? So that we may bear fruit. We're not there just to receive what God has given us, but we're there to give. But we give that by abiding in Christ, with Christ dwelling in our lives. Friends, the secret of living is abiding in Christ. Amen. Pass it on to Carl now.